Good morning, Builder Radio listeners. This is Quint Lears, and we are so excited. I've got a very, very special guest with us this morning. But before, I just want to remind you again, Builder Radio is a production of and is sponsored by Power Marketing. In business, you need experts surrounding you, and Power Marketing has those experts. They can help you grow and increase your business. Check out power-marketing.com. By the way, this is episode number 373. Last episode, I actually messed up and forgot which episode it was, and I said it was 362. The fact that I forgot was a little bit embarrassing, but the fact that my guest was the Guinness Book of World Record holder for the best memory was especially embarrassing. So I want to encourage you, our listeners, to know that you're not going to be perfect. I'm doing this, Builder Radio, and I go to conferences and I read books, not because I have all the answers, but because I don't have all the answers. Continue to learn and grow. And don't be afraid to make those mistakes, and our guest is going to talk to us more about that. Our guest, and I was blown away when Builder Radio contacted me because they said, Quint, we're going to interview Bill Gates. I said, Bill Gates, and honestly, I don't know if you can tell my voice, I'm a little bit nervous this morning. Bill is one of the most wealthiest and most powerful people on the planet. Actually, I think you were. Mr. Gates, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Quint. I hate to break it to you, but this isn't Bill Gates. This is Bill Cates with a C. I know I missed it by one letter.
Wait a second. Hold on a second. Mm-hmm. Oh my God! Bill, this is the second episode I've made a huge mistake. Last episode I made the mistake of which number episode it was, and now I've messed up which guest it is. I have all these questions. I wanted to ask you about Microsoft. And oh my gosh.
Well, don't worry about it. Look, Bill Gates may have a lot of money. Bill Gates, I'm going to help you make a lot of money. He's worth $55 billion. I'm worth a little less, but I think I got some good ideas. So why don't you just grab that copy of my book, Beyond Referrals, off the bookshelf. I know you have it. And we'll just go from there. You can do it.
No, I'm joking around. And Bill, that's one of the jokes. And by the way, you got to be memorable. And Bill's an expert at that. We've got this little joke that we play. I'm not Bill Gates. I'm Bill Cates. And you got to be memorable. And Bill is one of the foremost authorities on referrals. And you mentioned it, Bill. And the subject I want to cover this morning is you said you help make people a lot of money. And one of the areas I think we're builders, and I went to this conference, and pretty soon I'm going to shut up because I want you to talk. I think it was something like $400 or $500 per prospect, and I actually think I'm really shooting it low. To get a new prospect through a model home door, it costs somewhere in the range of $400 to $500 plus, depending on the market. And right. Bill's going to talk to you how to get more prospects from those people. Bill, first off, thanks again for joining us on Builder Radio. I'm very excited about your new book. You got to check out referralcoach.com, right? That's how we contact you?
Yeah, referralcoach.com, absolutely.
You got some great information. I'm really excited about your new book, Beyond Referrals. How did that book come out? I know that's not your only book, but this one seems like a very, very good one.
Sure. So for the longest time, I've been teaching people how to get more referrals. We all know the power and the benefit of referrals, the borrowed trust that comes along with that. And everybody wants more referrals. Most people aren't particularly good at getting it, but you know, what I've realized as I've evolved is, referrals actually are worthless. Referrals are not the end game. The referrals are a means to an end. The end game, of course, is the new client, the new customer. And so in Beyond Referrals, not only do we talk about how to get more of those coveted referrals, but then how to turn a referral into an introduction, how to actually get connected to this new prospect, because we know it's just so hard to reach people. It's so hard to cut through all the noise and to get them to return our phone calls or answer an email. And then once we've been introduced and connected, well, we got to get on the phone. We got to set an appointment, whether it's an on-phone appointment, in-person appointment in most cases in your world. And how you do that from referrals and introductions is a little different from other lead sources that you might be able to produce. And then, of course, once we're now in front of this person, how do we, quote unquote, make the sale, right? How do we turn that prospect into a client or customer? So the book, Beyond Referrals, covers that whole line of what it takes to go from referrals to new customer. And the beautiful thing, if you do the right things, if you create this customer prospect engagement early on that we talk about, then you create actually a perpetual flow of opportunity because this new prospect, this new client, now regards you as highly referable, and then it just the process just keeps going and going.
And you were getting a little bit ahead with making yourself actually referable, but before that in the book, right, you actually talk about the mindset. And I think that's so important. And tell me a little bit about the mindset that we need to have going into creating a referral business.
Sure. Mindset obviously is critical, having the right beliefs and perspective in place, because if we don't have the right mindset, beliefs, perspective, then we don't see the opportunity. We all, you, me, everybody walks around with limiting beliefs and mistaken beliefs, and that guides our awareness and our actions. And then what happens, of course, is we listen to a show like yours, or we read a book, or we hear a speaker, or we have a good friend or colleague that gives us a metaphorical slap upside the head and makes us realize we can see something from a different perspective. And all of a sudden, that new awareness leads to new actions and better results. So, you know, around the mindset of referrals is, number one, making a decision to build a business, to grow your sales based on how someone would prefer to meet you. Right? What is someone's path of least resistance to you? Well, it's a recommendation from someone else they already trust, be that a current customer or client of yours, or it could be someone else in the community. But we've got to make a decision. We've got to commit. Most people dabble in referrals. They know what to do with one if they trip over it. But very few people have a process in place because they haven't made a commitment to it. You know, we also talk about the importance of giving referrals and being a connector, serving and providing value to just about everybody in the world by making connections. And we know that to give referrals, to make a connection, there's a little bit of risk there. We never know exactly what's going to happen. But if we're not willing to give referrals, how are we going to create a culture of people around us doing the same for us? And quite often for a lot of folks, there's a disconnect there. Understanding the lifetime value of a client or a customer is not just the business you can do with them, which can be substantial. It's also who they can introduce you to. So with that awareness, from the minute you meet someone, not only are you paying attention to them and their wants and needs and how you can serve them with that, but who else they know and who you might be, how you might be able to ethically, appropriately leverage that hard work to bring on a new client or customer and to leverage that to introductions to other people. And so, you know, there's a lot of beliefs. I'll give you one more. A lot of people believe that just serving their customers well, doing a great job, is enough to create a lot of referrals. And it certainly is important, and it will help you become referable. But usually it's not enough. We can't rely just on great service. We have to be appropriately proactive, and we can talk about that. But how do you step into that and be appropriately proactive?
Well, your book, and I love your new trademark system, the perpetual revenue system. I mean, who doesn't want perpetual revenue? And the biggest, you know, complaint about people getting into new home sales is, you know, or the new home market, home building business, it's, you know, gosh, the highs and the lows. And what you're creating, it doesn't have to always have these highs and the lows, that you can create literally a perpetual revenue system. Tell me about that. And how did you come up with the name of that? What's the your thought process behind the perpetual revenue system? That's your trademarked system, right?
Yeah, it's definitely part of it, no question. And so, you know, a lot of people say, well, that sounds kind of pie in the sky. That's just hype. And the truth is, no, it's not. It really is very possible. And so it goes like this. There's three words I want you to remember. The first one is engagement. And that is essentially becoming referable, and we can talk a little more about that if you want, but how do we create the sense of engagement with our value, with us as individuals, so that we become super referable? And if we do that, then not only will we make the sale, but we'll do it in a way that makes us referable at the same time. And so then we have something that's actually worth leveraging. And then we're appropriately proactive, as I mentioned, and there's two ways to be appropriately proactive. One is to promote referrals or introductions, and the other is to actually ask, and to do without looking like an over-aggressive life insurance agent. And I work with a lot of life insurance agents, and I tell them that the way they've been taught to ask referrals and introductions in the past have polluted the waters for us, and you don't want to look like that. So how can you be appropriately proactive? But when you do that, then of course, as I mentioned earlier, you got to get connected. Right. So how do you get connected? How do you get introduced? How do you reach out to these people? And then when you do it and you do it in a way and your prospect experience, which is another word for your sales process, your prospect experience actually creates that sense of engagement, then what happens? Well, now the cycle continues. And so it really is quite easy to have one customer, one client lead to the next. And the beautiful thing about referrals and introductions is, since some people will give us more than one over time, what happens is we actually create exponential growth, and we can grow our business almost by referrals alone. And studies have shown that a customer, a client that comes into a business through referrals is 2.5 times more likely to give referrals. They're going to be predisposed to do that. And over time, a critical mass of momentum gets created, and it just gets easier and easier and easier, and it's no longer a struggle. So this idea of perpetual customers, perpetual revenue, it's not pie in the sky. It's not hype. It's actually quite possible. I've done it for my own business. I've helped thousands and thousands of people over the last quarter century do it for their business as well.
Yeah, and again, Bill Cates is the international authority on the topic. He is the referral coach. By the way, I love your new YouTube channel, YouTube.com/referral coach. That's amazing. You've got some great videos. You know, your book is impressive. I mean, you've been endorsed by Brian Tracy. I know that you travel internationally, that you are a keynote speaker. And I actually met you at the FPG, Human Performance Unleashed event. You were the big keynote there. Everybody loved the content. And my apologies to your assistant, because I just kept calling her until you would agree to do an interview with me. And I know that I probably drove her crazy, you know. So, but she finally said, "Quinn, if you go away, will you do it? I'll set up a 30-minute thing." I said, "Do it." But
I love meeting you there, Quinn. You got a great energy, and I couldn't say no. Had to do it.
Well, I appreciate that. But what I like about your book, and a lot of books are just philosophical. They've just got high ideals, and you get down to the brass tacks. I mean, you've got how to ask the questions, how to come up with questions, how to do events, work events, how to even down to your assistant, like getting your assistant involved in the referral process. What I wanted to ask you is if you could give, you know, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20, maybe 30 tips. For our
we
listeners,
got a half a day, we'll do 30.
Let's do 30. And by the way, this is if you want Bill to come out, it's expensive. So what I'm bringing you, ladies and gentlemen, is some great content from an international authority on the topic. But I'm wondering if you can give some quick tips for our listeners that they can implement today, this morning. It's their Monday morning sales meeting. What can they start doing right now today?
Yeah, so let's do a couple for each category of engagement, leverage, and connection. So from the engagement standpoint, becoming super referable. Number one, we've got to make sure that we ask questions that not just help us learn about the new prospect and what their needs and wants and desires are. That's all good. But we also want to ask questions that bring value, that help, that teach them. We want to be in that teaching mode. We want to almost take ourselves out of the sales mode and put ourselves into a teaching consulting mode. When you teach people how to buy what you sell, when you say, look, whether you go with us or go with someone else, you know, what's important is you get the right home, the home you want that's perfect for you and your family, right? Yeah. So make sure that you look for this, and make sure you look for that, and make sure they give you this. And so what you're doing is you're teaching them. And when you teach people and you kind of take yourself out of that sales mode and they see that, that builds trust, that creates that sense of engagement with who you are. And so we know that people have to not just see the value of what we're offering, but they have to kind of like us if they're going to do business with us. So that helps, that teaching of how to buy what you sell is one great thing. Another thing is to have I break the engagement actually into three parts. There's the prospect experience, which is really your sales process, and that's what I was alluding to there about teaching people how to buy what you sell. Then we have the new client experience, the new customer experience, which you want to make sure there's an onboarding process, that they feel onboarded, welcomed into your family, if you will, welcomed down the proverbial red carpet into your world. And all kinds of things you can do there, gifts you can have and books and calls from other people involved in the process. But that whole process of onboarding, will also help you make you more referable. And so that's a little bit about engagement. One more thing about engagement is checking in along the way to make sure that people are seeing value in the process, to make sure that, you know, rather than saying, you know, do you have any questions? Say, what questions do you have? Let them know that questions are good. They're normal. Most people do have questions. What other questions do you have? And so creating that feedback loop, if you will, it helps create that engagement. Then on the proactive side, well, two ways to be proactive. One way is promoting, one way is asking. So on the promoting, lots of different things you can say. I'll give you two real quick. When someone's seeing your value, thanking you, appreciating the experience, the process, you say, great, you know, I'm glad you found this helpful, and please don't keep me a secret, or don't keep us a secret, or don't keep this opportunity a secret. Simple little thing goes into their unconscious, and then later it creates referrals. Sometimes it actually turns into referrals right on the spot. It gets people thinking of other people they know, you know, right away. So it's a great little tool. On your outgoing voice message, you heard me say this at the Performance Unleashed. When you're with a client, a prospect, and you can't answer your phone, make sure your outgoing message says, please leave a message at the tone. And if you refer to us, please let us know who we need to thank. If you refer to us, please let us know who we need to thank. Now, everyone who gets your outgoing voice message knows that you're getting referrals. It's part of how you do business. In fact, you're getting so many that you actually want to acknowledge on your outgoing voice message that this is what happens. And that promotes the possibility. And then the asking. When we ask for referrals, for introductions, what we want to do is we don't want to leave it open to the whole universe. This is a classic mistake that people say. You know, who else can we help? Who else should know about this? Who else can you tell us? Can you tell about this opportunity? Lots of different ways to just kind of throw it open to the whole universe, and that doesn't usually create the result you want. They'll say, "Well, we'll keep it in mind. Give me some of your cards. You know, we'll have them handy and all that." The best way to ask for referrals and introductions is to come up with specific people or categories if you can. You want to narrow this person's sphere of you know who they're going to picture in their mind. And so, as I mentioned earlier, when you understand the lifetime value is not just the business you will do with them, but it's who they can introduce you to, and you start to pay attention to other people in their life. You know, so if someone's moving to the area, let's say. So, what has you move into the area, or how long have you been in the area? What made you move? That could be a challenge. Did you know anybody else? Or do you know anybody? Oh yeah, my sister and brother-in-law's here, and yeah, we've got some colleagues from the company being transferred over as well. And so you're just starting, you're being genuinely curious. It's good rapport building. It's just good relationship communication skills. But you're also identifying other people in their world who you might be able to suggest, you know, this opportunity. And could be the guys or gals they play golf with or whatever. It just, we want to be as narrow and as specific as we can be to start the conversation. Then we can open it up a little bit more, make it more broad. But when you just start broad and throw open the whole universe, they don't picture anybody in their mind's eye, and it usually fizzles. And then, let's see, you want lots of tips. Let's go to the connection part, the introduction.
Okay.
What we want there, of course, is we want a real connection. It could be an email handshake where we get introduced with email. Not just an email, hey, this guy, Quinn's going to give you a call. I told him about you guys. No, Quint, meet, you know, George and Martha. George and Martha, meet Quint. He's done a great job for us. You know, he's going to open your eyes to some things. He's taught us a lot about the area, whatever. And so now we're getting a real connection, an in-person connection, you know, whether it's over a meal or whether they're bringing them to a model home or whatever. It's just, you know, introducing you in person, of course, is always good, because now you have this advocacy, you have this, you know, the person who's giving the referral is really taking a stake in making this happen. And that, so that borrowed trust becomes even higher. And now you're connected with these folks. And these are the people that are more likely to return a phone call. One more thing real quick is, you know, we all know about the do not call list and how you're not supposed to call people on their home or cell phone if they're, you know, on the do not call list. Well, kind of the new do not call list is not being in someone's smartphone, right? If somebody calls you and you don't recognize the number, good chance you're not going to pick up. Now, if they leave a voicemail, you probably listen to the voicemail, but that doesn't mean you're going to call them back. So you've got to make sure that you are in your prospects' and customers' smartphones, that you're contacted, you forward your contact to them, and have them watch you do it so they can actually see how to do it if they don't know how to forward a contact. And then if they're going to introduce you to a friend, you can say, hey, why don't you send them a text and, you know, attach my contact and just encourage them to save it, and so they'll know it's me when I'm calling. And they'll go, okay, right? We teach people how to make the connection. Now we're in their smartphone. And so when we follow up later, they see our name. They may not quite remember, but we're in their phone. And so they're going to pick it up. And so those are just a few, you know, tactical things that fit under the broader strategies.
That fantastic. And let's talk real quick about, you know, in the past it was always word of mouth. You know, we build our business based upon word of mouth, and you've coined a new phrase. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, so word of mouth is good. It's certainly important for just about any business. Some businesses more than others. But it's usually not enough to create a robust business and bring enough prospects to the door, so to speak. So I have kind of a hierarchy of this, and so that's the lowest level. Again, for movies, for books, some things, restaurants, word of mouth can really be huge. Now, the next level would be what I'll call the referral, where it's sometimes called referred leads, where, you know, I call my friend George and mention my name, call my friend Laura, mention my name, and, well, that's better than nothing, but it doesn't usually create the connection, and it's not often enough to get them to return our call or answer our email. And so the next level would be the recommendation. Now, recommendation is, Quint, this guy, you know, George is going to give you a call, you know, you should take his call. All right, well, that's pretty good. Right, so now there's a little bit of advocacy there. There can be some insistence there. Not bad. Pretty good up the hierarchy. Next level is what I've been talking about, is the introduction. You know, George, Martha, meet Quint. Quint, meet George, Martha. Right, the actual introduction, whether it's in person or with an email. And then the highest level is advocacy. Is when we have a certain number of our folks in the community and past customers who actually become advocates for us. And when they become advocates for us, they have that insistence, right? Take his call, meet with her. They're insisting. And they take a stake in this connection going through, right? They really want to make sure. They'll call you back. Hey, did you hear from my friend yet? Or they'll call their friend. Hey, did you call Quint yet? And so the advocates have insistence, and they really take a stake in making this connection go through. And ultimately, that's what we want to create. Now, not everyone's going to become advocates for us, but the more of these folks we can create by building value, by building these business friendships with people, then we get a lot of advocates. And so that's kind of the hierarchy of what we're looking for. Word of mouth, fine. Referrals, okay. Recommendations, not bad. Introductions, really good. And then advocates are the highest level.
And we have just a few more minutes, but you talk about the referral confidence quotient, and we just need to be more bold. And I really liked what you said. You made everybody raise your hand. Raise your hand if anybody didn't, you know, decide they're not going to be friends with you because you asked them for a referral business, and then you went down the line. Go through that real quick.
Yeah. So it's a live session that you saw me, and I do this pretty much every time I deliver a seminar, I give a speech, is you know, I say, raise your hand if you ever asked for a referral or introduction and someone gave it to you on the spot. And most of the hands go up. Most people have experienced that. We know that that can work. And then I'll say, well, raise your hand if you ever asked for referrals or introductions. You didn't get it when you asked, but later, same person, you know, they did it later when they were ready. Next time you meet when they go, hey, I think I have somebody for you. And most of the hands go up because most people have experienced that. And then I say, all right, raise your hand if you've ever had a client or a customer fire you because you asked them for a referral and introduction. And in 25 years, Quinn, I never had a hand go up. And so my next statement is, all right, don't we have to lighten up on this? You know, the reason why people don't ask for referrals and introductions is out of fear. They have concern about looking needy or hurting the relationship or making their customer feel, you know, like they're being put on the spot. And I get that. We certainly don't want to do those things. You got to just have the right methodology in place, and you won't. But we got to lighten up on this. We got to realize, in fact, the joke I make is, you know, my real name is Bill Nostradamus case, meaning I can predict your future. Every time you ask for referrals, here's what's going to happen. Some people do it on the spot. We know that can happen. Some people do it later when they're ready. We know that can happen. And then you've got some folks, you could run into a burning building and say they're children, they wouldn't give you referrals. But they're not going to stop talking to you. They're not going to stop working with you. You know, as long as you're not over-aggressive about this, as long as you use the methodologies we teach in the book, you're never going to hurt a relationship. It's, you know, what we know is the worst thing that'll happen is you'll plant the seed, you'll promote the possibility for later, and then down the road when they're ready, and then it happens. So it's, you know, fear is a real thing. It feels, or at least it feels real. We have to respect it in that sense, but we also realize that it doesn't have to be there. You've probably heard the expression false evidence appearing real.
Yep.
And so what we have to do is we have to have that relationship with our fear and realize that, all right, this is tricking me. This is my ego just trying to stay safe, and I'm not going to let it keep me from acting more boldly.
Well, again, I really appreciate the content in your book because you get very, very specific. And I like to say, if you want to be terrific, you got to be specific. And you give the people in your seminars, by the way, great job at the Human Performance Unleashed event. And you give us actual content that we can use immediately. You know, I want to add something, and this might be just specific to new home sales, and you're welcome to use it. But I came up with the Choose Your Neighbor program, and the people say, well, what's the Choose Your Neighbor program? And I said, well, you can just refer your friends, and by doing that, you get to choose your neighbors. And then tapping into the selfish motivation of the buyer, and I say, look, do you know that, you know, for every buyer that buys in my neighborhood, the value of your home goes up. Please help me increase the value of your home, because when the supply goes down, the demand goes up. If you have any friends or family, and we're going to keep the momentum, we're going to make this community great. So anyway, I just wanted to share something specific.
Well, it's great, and you're having a little fun with that, right?
Of course, it's a joke.
And you get a chance to choose your neighbor. Oh yeah, that's cool. So they smile, and when you have fun with this, everything gets easier. So I think that's brilliant. Any way you can have fun with this is definitely a good thing to do.
And then, you know, you actually helped me, your quote in the beginning of the book, and I want to wrap it up with this. I was really inspired by that. And I mean, great job. Brian Tracy gave you a very strong endorsement. You have my full endorsement. I highly recommend to our listeners, you go out and check out The Perpetual Revenue System. Buy the book, Beyond Referrals. Check out referralcoach.com. Bill, if you would, could you read that quote if you have your book in front of you?
Yeah, I do, actually. This is a book. It was written, it came out in 1910. I was exposed to this book about probably 30 years ago myself. It's called The Science of Getting Rich. So after you read Beyond Referrals by Bill Gates, not Gates, then get The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Wattles, Wattles, Wallace Wattles. And so I just wanted to, I had a page at the front end that it was going to be blank, and I said to the publisher, you know, can we put something there that's meant a lot to me? And they said, of course. And so I'll read it. It'd take a second or two. And he says, the moment you permit your mind to dwell with dissatisfaction upon things as they are, you begin to lose ground. You fix attention upon the common, the poor, the squalid, the mean, and your mind takes the form of those things. You will then transmit these forms or mental images to the formless. Thus, the common, the poor, the squalid, and the mean will come to you. Right? This is kind of the law of attraction he's talking about. Long before anybody talked about that.
Wow.
He says, to permit your mind to dwell upon the inferior is to become inferior and to surround yourself with inferior things. On the other hand, to fix your attention on the best is to surround yourself with the best and to become the best. He says, the grateful mind is constantly fixed upon the best. Therefore, it tends to become the best. It takes the form or character of the best and will receive the best, the grateful mind. It's really what you put your attention on, you become. And we all know people around us who are negative. They put their attention on that, and guess what? That negativity just seems to grow in their life, doesn't it? They tend to attract it. On the other hand, when you wake up with gratitude every day, now you're putting your attention on what's real, what you like, what's true. and what's best in your life. And as you do that, it grows. You attract more of that in your life over time. What you put your attention on grows stronger in your life. Wallace Waddle says the grateful mind is constantly fixed upon the best. Therefore, it tends to become the best. It takes the form or character of the best and will receive the best. So I've tried to live my life by that. It's what this book is all about. And I think it's not a bad way to finish up this fun interview, bud.
Hey, man, Bill, you're the best in the business. I appreciate you spending time with us on Builder Radio. I want to encourage our listeners to always keep learning, keep improving, never stop learning. Check out builderradio.com. Thanks again to our sponsor. Bill, have an outstanding day.
Thank you, Quinn. Appreciate it.
Take care.